At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey there, Beverly Hills 90210 fans.
You know how when they yell cut, they wouldn't stop?
That's interesting.
What? Yes.
If you were Donna, what would you have said?
A waitress, rather, call the police. And she was mistaken for 90210 for cops.
Along with your host, Charles Rosen.
But look at that. Dean Cake and Dan probably got the best performance he ever gave.
We're having a meeting here.
Oh, at least there's one person on this piccata set that knows what they're doing.
Larry Mullen.
I had a friend named Craig Richland. There was still cocaine around and stuff. I always remembered him, and I just kind of thought I would honor my coke dealer.
Get out of here!
Pete Ferrero.
Here's what I learned. It's possible Claire would have gone out with me.
That was your takeaway.
So sit back and relax, because it's like totally time for the Beverly Hills 90210 show.
Just hold on to me tonight.
Hey, here we are on the Beverly Hills 90210 show, back with our usual suspects for this one. This is going to be a really interesting one because we're not covering an episode, but we're covering other people's podcasts. Oh, we're down with OPP. Other people's podcasts today. And I, you know, look, over the last few months since Shannon has a podcast, we, of course, know about Jenny and Tori's podcast, and Brian's been on Shannon's podcast, and Tori's been on this one, and the other one's been on that one. And there's just a lot of comments that have been made and stories. And so we thought it would be...
And Pete thinks it's really important that Larry and I listen to all of them and engage. And I don't know if it is. What do you think, Drew?
I guess it depends what it is we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, it's unfair. I thought some of the things that are being said.
Here's your listening cell, sir. Don't bother coming to bed.
Thank you.
My butthole's still hurt.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Have another hot pocket. It's fine.
The thing is it's a little bit unfair because look, we did our show. We had
it's fine. I think it's fine. Everyone has a point of view. It's a little bit like Rush, but we're all on the same side of the street. We're all supporting each other. You know what I mean?
We love all of the cast. And so by sharing these clips, we're sharing that they have podcasts and re-exposing the audience that the fact that Shannon does have a podcast that they're really great. But it's a good chance for you guys to reply to some of the
outrageous claims, the new
versions of reality is what I'm referring to. All right, I'm going to play an ad. We'll come back and we'll dive into. We're going to get right off the gate with a Jenny Garth.
Oh boy!
I'm just.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans! Check out all the latest rad stuff from the Beverly Hills 90210 show shop. They have everything you could possibly imagine. So, like, go there now, okay?
There is. Okay. And Drew, I brought Drew on. Hi, Drew. It's good to see you again and hear from you again for those listening. Because there's a couple of stories that involve the crew. And I didn't know that Chuck and Larry would know. It may have gotten to them that these incidents happened, but I felt like you could definitely say that shit went down. Okay, let's start with on 90210 OMG. I feel like this was this week. I'm going to show what they post.
Is that the one that Tori and Jenny do together?
Yes.
So they're still doing the ones together,
as well as the new one with Jenny. Yeah,
but
apparently
they have their own. Okay. Each other.
I should point out that the OMG is also platforming Jenny's individual podcast and Tori's misspelling and Jenny's I Choose Me.
I was confused.
Sharing them also as OMG.
Thank you for pointing that out. It was
also,
totally.
I want to say one thing.
Yeah.
What we're seeing now is this trend of authenticity. People want to show themselves because people love the show and they love the characters and the people who play them, and they want to really know the real thing now. And that's what they realized that people really want. Shannon started off, and it's
but Shannon's is elevated because we've never heard any of this stuff before. Yes. Some of the other stuff feels all of it feels degree
now
created.
It's a reality TV now.
Yes. Okay. So they were watching an episode from season 6, but Jenny brought it back.
Season 6.
No, hold on. Jenny brings it back. Let me just.
Here's my problem with this episode. The show came on, they pitted Kelly and Brenda against each other. Thus, kind of pitting Jenny and Shannon against each other in this weird, surreal bubble of a world because life was imitating art.
Because one can separate, right?
Yeah. And we were very young and impressionable and formative. Now they have Kelly pitting against Val. It's just like, why are they doing this to Kelly? Why does she always have to have these conflicts with other girls in the show? I don't like it. It's really psychologically had a lot of effect on my life personally. And still to this day, you guys, I can sit on a stage. I love Shannon. I'll sit on a stage and the audience will pit us against one another. Here.
So let's start there.
I only can talk about the Brenda Kelly. And I've talked about this before. The only reason that plot got approved, despite the great pitch by Jessica, besides the fervor that Luke wanted to change, was the idea that Dan McDermott at Fox, his response was, no, there's no possible way that they could remain friends. And I said, in real life, the two women involved with my friend Tony are lifelong friends. So call him up. And because my friend Tony is in show business, he was president of Warner Brothers at the time, he called him up and went, oh, okay. I guess it is, there's a reality of it. So what we did, and Jenny would know this, you can send this clip to her, what's really off base. I mean, I'm sorry that you had these antagonisms come through. But relative to the characters of Kelly and Brenda, which was in my business, the point was is that we worked everything that they could resolve through it and remain friends, have a competition in theater and remain friends, and have still that there'd be a bond. And what happened after them with those characters? Well, I don't know. Would you end up at some school? I didn't ever watch the crappy shit they did in 2000. But, you know, you ended up in some crappy shit, so there was no place to go with your characters to make them so much more interesting than that crappy show that you guys put together and didn't even consider thinking about, well, maybe the original writers would have helped it.
Larry, I want to say a couple of things. I want to say that I have the full audio of this that I would like to play after, but I'll let you, because she goes a little bit further and it's a little bit unhinged, so I would like to just... Go ahead, Larry. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, that's how it kind of struck me, Ben.
I just want to say, look, first of all, looking at like forensically, we wouldn't be talking about this 30 years later if we hadn't done what we'd done. If everyone liked everyone, what would be the point?
Right.
We're trying to make drama here. And we're trying to make it real. We really prized ourselves on emotional reality in the characters. And that's what we kept. And we depended on the actresses to pull that off. Now, as far as reflecting into their real life, well, we can't, you know, that's just what happens. You know, that comes with the job. It's just, you know, you become a public figure.
I would really like to play the full clip, and it's 2 minutes, so it's a little bit long, but it's just something is wrong with her. Let's listen to this.
It's becoming more and more apparent to me as I get older and I'm able to see things from such a different perspective. But the way that it started for Brenda and Kelly, Shannon and Jenny, that they were never, they had the cards stacked against them as far as getting along in a relationship, like with each other. And you're right. Like, I had gotten older, learned some things, but I'm still seeing such a divide created by the man, basically. The man who wrote this, the man, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels like it's pissing me off is what I'm trying to say, because it's really psychologically had a lot of effect on my life personally. And still to this fucking day, you guys, I can sit on a stage. I love Shannon. I'll sit on a stage and the audience will pit us against one another in a Q&A forum. And it's so, makes me so angry.
The characters or the two of you personally?
The two of us.
Yeah.
The two of us. It's the characters that they're talking about, but it's the two of us there receiving that energy and having to process that energy and that information and have it not affect our, you know, emotions or our mental state. Like, there's something so just, I don't know how to explain it. She, and then Shannon said something about, well, she is a whore. And looked at me, but she meant Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, I was like, whoa, ouch. A, my character wasn't a whore, and B, I'm not a whore. That just felt so.
What do you guys think, Larry?
Hey, look, I mean, obviously it's difficult when you have your, you know, people are watching you and they've lived and died in your character and they do all this to you. But partly that's the profession. I mean, I just kind of feel like this is like unintended consequences of
having. Oh, yeah. But, you know, in the digital age, so many lines are blurred. I mean, you know, Natalie Wood didn't have a relationship with her audience like that. Patty Duke, Sally Field, they don't have, that's not how they interacted with their fans. No, the fans right. make me feel this. Well, you know, get some distance, girl, like the rest of show business did before, and celebrity did before.
But again, this has legs. This
is survival depends on celebrity. And I'm not attacking Jen. Jenny knows I love her. It's not that.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think Jenny's attacking anybody here either, by the way.
I just trying to grasp the problem. I mean, I'm sensitive to the problem.
That moment. I mean, also, I thought it was, whoever was doing the interview at that point was good, because that was the question to ask. What do you, because that
was Tori.
Oh, well, because that had been, you know, one of the things that I do remember in the early parts of making the decision to indeed go with the triangle was the distinction between Brenda and Shannon. This was one that had to be carved, because Shannon rightly saw the two as much more intertwined than I did.
Mm. Interesting. Hildy from Toronto tell her it's called acting.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I have to agree with that. This true. Is a job.
But again, it's only built up over the years. All the fact that this fan interest, and like Chuck said, with
that's
all
the
clips yeah. now and all the way you can share this mm-hmm. stuff now and the forums for it online, the Reddit, you know, all these groups and stuff. It's content, basically. They become content.
I kind of agree with Chuck. I feel like you have to be able to distance yourself from this. If it's affecting you that deeply, then that goes back to you. I'm sorry.
Have you guys seen this episode of The Twilight Zone where it's called A World of Difference, and the actor... The character wakes up one morning and believes he is the character. The actor wakes up one morning and believes he is the character.
Makes
this
sense.
Is kind of... This is kind of what Jenny's going through. She is in the Twilight Zone here.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, look. But the truth is, whatever we did, it worked, because people are talking about it. We should remember that. That's why it's still relevant.
Well, they're not the first actors or actresses to deal with this because of what they were in. I mean, that's like saying, I was in a hit series.
I'm sure people from Friends, if somebody was saw Jennifer Aniston in a crowded restaurant, they would walk up to her and assume that they've all lived this experience at the apartment together, right? I think there's certain shows that I've heard that from the cast that when they go to the events, yeah, that sometimes
the difference is that Jennifer Aniston is the wrong example, because the bodyguards would step in. Yes. Pretty quickly.
Well, what I'm saying is on 90210, there is this connection that the fans have where they feel like, some fans feel like they experienced high school and college together and work when they'll Beverly Beat, you know? So
I think maybe it goes back to them being young kids, you know, when they're watching it. They were teens when they were teens. So maybe I think that's why it has so much of an effect on them.
Shannon, now a lot of clips I have are about Shannon leaving the show. And she said these are two incidents that led to her leaving. And then I have people reacting to some of this. This is Catherine West sent me this one. So this is why I had you here, Drew.
There was this whole conversation about what to buy the crew for Christmas as a cast. And somebody, one of the cast members, suggested a van that we would then donate to charity. Like we would buy a used van. And we would all, you know, donate like $1,500 for the van and then donate it to charity in the name of the crew. And I was like, I'll just donate money directly to a charity, but I'm not doing this to my crew. Like,
yeah, what does that get them?
Gets them, you know, they want a party. They want t-shirts. They want hats. They want, you know, a DVD player. If there were DVDs back then, maybe there were Laserdisc. I don't know. But like, or VHS things.
Walkmans.
And I remember we ended up still doing a party, and the crew was so thankful that they got to like just hang out and let loose and have free drinks and free food and a DJ and like party and have fun. But I know that that caused a huge rift between me and three of the cast members.
I don't know. I remember that particular moment. I was really conflicted because I had everyone coming at me like, you have to be on this side or that side. It's like, why? And it was one against many. And I was young. You know what? Fuck that. Sorry. I got easily swayed. It's not about being young. I want to be accountable and be like, yeah, I fucking bought into it. So I was probably like, cool, van rocks. I don't want to do the van.
No.
I think we talked about it. I didn't want to do the van.
And it's just,
did the van happen? It happened.
The van did happen. I don't think I put money into the van.
Does anybody recall this story about the van and the charity and all this?
Yes.
Yep.
You want to start talking first, or you talk first? Well,
it happened.
It happened, absolutely. And you know, for being a crew member, I mean, those kind of holiday things was like a celebration for all of us, where like we all got to see each other in a completely different way because we got to be away from, you know, somebody squawking in a walkie talkie or a bell ringing, you know, or you wait for a light to go off. It was just sit around and
everybody together.
Yeah.
You know, I want to amplify what you're saying, and then I can specifically answer about the riff, because I know the riff. I live the riff. But the fact is that, you know, the show that I left Northern Exposure to come to 90210. And one of the things, Northern, Josh Brand, the guy who, and his partner, John Falsey, who Larry knew very well, both these guys, but particularly Brand, the one who was so super talented, it was a pressure cooker to work for. They were never there. They were shooting in Washington. Truthfully, and what we were doing, it wasn't all that much fun. The Spelling Company knew how to party. And after the first season, we went to a dumpy bar in Hollywood, and you could just see the contrast the next year when we had the party that Drew's referring to, and it was at Universal, and Spelling, it was a great party. And as a part of that, I distinctly remember two things. One, Andrea Gabby being part of a wonderful donation to a charity like Meals on Wheels, the ones who did AIDS patients. This is a young cat doing this in like 1991. It was right. Present. Now, know that that was, you know, charity was going on, or not charity, but support for the community, and the community needed it, always would need funds and resources. Darren and I combined together to buy a big screen television for Foster Home in Los Angeles.
Right.
And you know, things were done, always being done. But the party, it wasn't, what was the cast party going to be? Well, maybe there'd be a cast party, but the big spelling party, there was this one, there was one at the Hollywood and Vine Place. They made it into a casino night, I remember. And it was the best night I ever had in a casino. I could not lose.
Yes, absolutely.
And I had so many win tickets. I gave it to my assistant, Christine Pettit, and she won the big screen TV. You know, it was, but Christine Pettit, same.
Must have been 30 inches, that TV.
Yeah, long time ago. But as to this, you know, there was the, I don't know if that's an origin. I don't know the 3-1. I don't know any of that aspect.
Who the actors were?
Well, I think maybe I might be able to shed a slight little bit of light on the attitude, you know, because this was my first year on the show. So I was, you know, I had been in the business very long, so I was pretty recently out of college. So I was kind of like wide-eyed, like trying to figure out what the hell was really going on in the world. And the thing I remember, I'm sitting here trying to remember who it was exactly. I don't remember who, because we changed crews a couple of times, like different key people. But it was, I remember older crew members who'd been in the business for a while talking about the fact that it was a used van. And that was the thing that they were pissed about, that it wasn't new, it was used. They thought that was cheap. So that was them talking on the stage.
Right.
And so I'm sure that part of that is where this got amped up.
So did the crew not get used to it? Only got a party?
What, pre-owned or one that they used? You know, you can get a car. You technically, the car I drive now had like 250 miles on it because it was one the dealership used to drive people around. That's the one that I ended up with, you know. Who knows if it was that, but it wasn't that. It was a gesture of goodwill.
It was what they heard. So that's where it became, you know, that was like people muttering, you know, on the stage.
Wow.
Did you get gifts that Christmas, or did the money go to the charity?
I don't remember.
The crew always got a company gift,
that would have come from the company, not the cast.
Actually, you know that.
Oh, this would have been a cast gift, though, Larry. This would have been
the cast gift was the charity.
I know what the gift was that year. It was the black baseball jackets.
Yeah,
because I still have mine. It's the only winter jacket I own. Right?
So cool that you have that still.
Oh, yeah.
Chuck, when you heard about the riff with the van, were you like, what are they talking about? Were you just like, this is so insane? This is insane.
No, I didn't care at all. It had nothing to do with me doing the show.
Yeah. Definitely. So you were out of it. This is a poll.
No, more than that, but I understood. Listen, this is not newsflash. Gabriel Carteris gets married to Charlie Isaacs, the entire cast, but Shannon is there.
Got it.
These two people weren't, this was an oil and water thing. Where it comes from, don't know. How they go together, I don't know. It's none of my, I don't care. That's for people. I mean,
Got it.
Sorry about that.
Wait, say this again.
I know how it was solved. At the party, the company bought, you know, like an open bar for a certain amount of money. And we drank through that money really fast. And it was getting down to the end, so it started muttering like, we're running out of money. And then the cast got together, and then they got the microphone, and Jason was like, we just put another $1,000 at the bar. And that happened a couple of times.
I don't remember that, but I love that.
That's great. I do, because I remember a couple of people getting put under because of that.
So the van,
this wasn't the one where everybody then stayed in the hotel. That was when they did Spring Dance.
Yeah, that was the
year before. They're all out at the same hotel.
Okay, let's move off the van, though that's a very interesting story. Here is Shannon's other thing that she feels was another issue.
The other moment was when Jason, Luke, and I did the cover of Rolling Stone.
Okay.
And I'm going to jog your memory. I came into work.
Yes.
So did the boys.
Yes.
We were all there.
Yes.
And I was in my dressing room, and there was a knock on my door, and there were several cast members. They dragged you into it as well.
Me?
Yes. Granted.
I didn't care.
I know you didn't care.
Okay.
And set me down and said that I should not be doing covers without the entire cast, that I should have said no to Rolling Stone magazine. And I was like,
why? Because you were the female?
Because I was probably the one that they thought that would listen. I don't really know. They didn't say it to the boys because I checked with Luke and Jason afterwards. I was like, did you guys get like harassed about? And I spoke up for myself and said, you guys are nuts. This is Rolling Stone magazine. I'm not saying no to Rolling Stone magazine. Like, there's no way. Nor am I saying no to Fox. When they ask me to do publicity, I'm saying yes.
Wow. Well, I'm Team Shannon on this, man.
Totally.
Completely, utterly. You know, what a thing. You know, Larry and I are from the generation, and Drew, too, to some extent, of on the cover of the Rolling
Stone. I know.
Like the highest, I've got a book with covers.
They're not a band. They're not a band splitting profits. They're the individual contractors.
Yeah, and what a and I have it. It's on my wall. I look at it. I talk to you past my computer on my wall. At the most prominent part of my office is that great cover picture. The guys look great. Shannon looks hot. And I love the title, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
I just want to say Michael Cudlis is watching along on Instagram. He said, and Shannon was 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000% correct.
Yeah. Cudlis knows. Hello, Michael.
Good to see you, Michael. Do you remember this though? Did you ever hear about this, Drew? Is this something that you heard about the people or you, Chuck, that
No. No,
yes. Okay. We're cast
members. Paul Wagner would wrangle this. Wagner was the father confessor.
I mean, I would maybe hear about it, but I didn't. I what could I do? I didn't care. I was up to my eyeballs. I was battling for my contract. You know.
Yes. All right. Let's move off of. There's a lot more Shannon, but let's move off of Shannon.
I love seeing Shannon or hearing what she has to say, unless.
Yes.
Competitive,
you know, okay. I wanted to go to seasons five. This is something that Tiffany said on the Chelsea Handler podcast. And I'm curious, Larry, if you have any memories of this happening in Mexico.
No, I had an actor totally grab me in the middle of a scene and he thought it was okay because he was in character. And I was like, fuck you. This has nothing to do with being in character.
He grabbed you in the Pikachu?
Oh, completely.
Oh, my.
Stopped production. I was pissed. I was mad. I was really mad. And I embarrassed the shit out of him in front of my whole...
Because
it was my show. I was on 902. It was my show. He was a guest star, like a reoccurring older gentleman. Piece of shit. Total piece of shit.
Mm.
And I stopped production and everything. We were shooting in Mexico, too.
Oh, good for you.
I'm sure someone will figure out who it was. I gave a lot of clues.
Yeah. How was it working with...
Well, of course, it's, you know, heaven.
Yeah. It's Kevin.
I never heard this, but it has to be.
Well,
yeah, I've never heard this.
Or it's,
no, it's Jonesy. It's a detective.
I thought it was Jonesy.
Oh really?
Oh, yeah, probably Jonesy.
Come on, man.
James Whitmore was the director there, so James should have controlled that maybe.
Well, he probably did. He probably at that
stopped the show.
Strong director.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about Jonesy being there with her. Yeah.
He was in character.
That's all. Yeah, was in character. Look, we saw lots of that on both sides of the fence. I've seen that. You know, that was part of 80s, 90s television.
Larry, is that something that came back to you? Did you hear about that?
Never heard it. Nope.
Well, that's the first time I'm hearing about it, but look at Tiffany. Tiffany, when we were filming our last episode in Palm Springs, and I'm there, you know, I wanted to say goodbye to the crew, have a couple of things with the James, but my two nights I was going to be there, and and a day or night or whatever it was going to be. It was a little short period of time. And her bags are in, she puts her bags in my room. So it's like, well, are we sharing a suite? Because it was a suite they gave me. And we just, you know, like, oh, that would be, because this was a really very, very fetching young woman. I mean, if you're an actor, if you're this, if you're Luke, that the makeout scenes with Larry and I are even kind of stunned at that.
Looking back, she was good. Hey, I want to add to this thing, though, because that was not the last time we saw Josie.
Well, that was my only thing. Maybe it wasn't Josie.
You're saying, like, you can't hire this guy again. He's a danger on the set or anything. She never.
That kind of thing never. I never heard that at all.
That's why I have to go back to Kevin.
Because that was a thing, Larry, because. Why I went back to Kevin as well, because Jonesy did come back. So I would imagine, and they did seem to have some sort of chemistry on screen, Jonesy and Tiffany. So I don't know why we're not saying Jonesy, the actor's name. I can't remember. I can't recall it.
Wingshauser.
Wingshauser. So sorry. Yeah. But it may be Kevin.
It might be Kevin.
I forgot Kevin's name. Help me out here, David.
And we love David. He's been on this show a bunch of times. So
nice. That's
the end of that. So,
Tiffany doesn't want to come on the show to talk to you, Pete.
That's so right.
And it's that you're us. And because of that, for whatever reason, I just prefer to move on.
Okay. But that was really nice that time Kevin came on the podcast.
He never appeared on the show again, so that's interesting.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. Here's Shannon. Well,
hold on. What happened with the bags in Chuck's room?
Oh, she came in. It was like, hi, cute. You know, it was just me. We laughed about it. I shared my... Oh, I thought you were going to be here, so we had a laugh about it.
I'm sure you remember, it was like a Marriott, like a three-story Marriott or something.
Oh, it's a the big pool.
Just want to say, Cudlitz said, "Fuck those guys." He's referring to the people that had a problem with the Rolling Stone cover. Fuck those guys. When the show produces stars, everyone else benefits.
Exactly right.
Totally.
Mike's doing a very interesting thing now. I just read about it. I can't. You know what it is, Drew?
We gotta get Mike back on the show. Come back on the show, Michael. We miss you.
I'm happy to hear.
I mean, Mike Cudlitz did the show like retro, like year one, like week four or something like that. He's got to come back and like dive deeper. And now that we've got so much more stories. Okay, here's Shannon on getting fired.
I think once I got fired, I was angry for a little while and thought, why didn't anybody defend me? Why didn't anybody understand what I was going through between my dad and my husband? But then later, to me, it was, well, why weren't you more transparent? Why didn't you let people know? And why didn't you ask for help? Then again, why didn't anybody sit down with me and say, this is what's going to happen? You're about to get fired because we're fed up.
Right.
So we're, instead of just jumping to, hey, let's fire her, have a conversation. Right. I just remember Aaron never spoke to me, never having a conversation, just all of a sudden, bam, you're fired, Shannon, which is a pretty awful thing to do to a person when they're helping support a family as well. So it messes with your livelihood. However, I definitely look back at that time and think, all right, I can live with what happened. That's fine. I get it.
Did anyone talk to her? Aaron didn't talk to her.
I'm sure Paul warned her. I'm sure Paul was, he loved that show.
Actually, Larry, yes, this was Paul's purview.
Yeah.
But this was Paul's purview that even in season one, when it came to Brenda and her Shannon and some of the behavior and how it was impacting the set, I'm always involved. By the time it got to when she kind of went off the rails a little bit in that time as we're transitioning into you're going to Europe and Luke, that summer, that, you know, but in our third year in season three, when she gets married to Ashley Hamilton, that she talks about that in her podcast, I know, because, you know, that was a time while we were all on the show. We were all doing the show at that time. Shannon had was represented by William Morris. That's a major agency and really was the old line Hollywood agency. Aaron, although he was creative artist, was very comfortable with the business people of William Morris. And they were in, we had meeting after meeting after meeting. Spelling the Mister did not like confrontation.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And one of the reasons Duke was a perfect partner for him. Right. who thrived on it in a lot of ways. He liked the jarring. He liked the gains. Mm-hmm. And he protected Aaron. But I think Shannon, and I think Tori would know this and cop to this, that you know, that was a very close friendship those two had. And it was two vastly different families. And there was a lot of times in those years that Shannon was at the manor, was with Tori. They had their own stuff, other things. And it was, you know, was that good? Was that bad? That was Aaron and Candy are the parents. So there was that whole world going on. So that really didn't impact us or the doing of the show. But there was this friendship and this direct supervision, it seemed, there for a while. And and if that's true, that she never got any face-to-face time or any, you know, personal gesture at the time she was let go, that seems kind of right. That seems Aaron-esque to me. But at the same time, she got charmed. So she was brought back. She did great. You know, so Aaron moved on. Her and their mutual respect for the work there. So, but you know, she did not. I mean, it's just, I just think Shannon, I like the way she said it. And I got the feelings. I endorse that. You know, Paul and I could not intervene in the same way. She didn't want us. Well, we could not make that our role to do that. It had to come from her side of the table. Really.
And Mr. Spelling wanted to split Tori and Shannon up. I mean, Shannon was a bad influence.
Well, yes, that's how he.
That's how he saw it.
That was the line. Yeah.
Okay, some comments here. Liz C. says, this is about Jenny. You can't be pitted against each other unless you allow it to happen. Renee B says, exactly, Jenny fed off that clearly in real life. And Bumble Bear 7 says, Kelly's I Choose Me totally debunks this. Sorry, Jenny. I guess what he is saying that the guys did not have the similar problem. It's not like Jason and Luke.
Well, there's also, you know, Jenny was with Dan. She had a steady boyfriend. And I don't think she hung out in the way. Brian went to the dance clubs, and Shannon went to the clubs, and Tori went to the clubs. Mm-hmm. Luke was at the athletic club a little more in Hollywood. He didn't do that. And Jay was, I think he was a little more of a homebody, wasn't he, Drew?
Yeah.
Jonathan says Jamie Walters had it way worse. So I guess that's very...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, as far as blurring the lines of actor and role, yeah, sure.
Larry, it's like in WWE, right? We were saying last week, they say wrestlers work themselves into a shoot. They get so caught up in the storyline that they're really feuding, that they believe that they're really feuding with the other character.
Well, yeah, I mean, if the fans think that, you know, certainly, or there is no... Actually, yeah, I mean, look... Okay, a work is the fake world. The work is the right. Work is the alternate fake world. A shoot is the reality.
Right. Wrestlers would work themselves into the.
Yes, they would. That would happen, and the blur would happen. But
right.
In wrestling, it's difficult. I don't see.
Okay. Let's see here. We have, here's Brian talking about the meeting.
I tried to be as agreeable as possible and like not rock the boat and kind of be friendly with everyone and do all that. But that was one of those, like, I remember when the conversation came up and they were talking about you not being there. And I was just like, I don't agree with any of you that are in this room. So I'm just going to sit in my spot because I was so fucking outnumbered. It was the entire cast. Paul was there. Betty was there. It was a pretty sizable fucking room. And everyone was like, at that point, really playing the thing of like, oh yeah, no, you know, it's just really, it's tough. She's getting a lot of bad press and it's probably best for us if, you know, if she's not here and that. And I didn't agree, not only because I have known you so long, but because fucking 90% of that press, I was with you. Like I was right by your side.
And so was our producer's daughter.
Right. Totally.
So was Tori.
Yeah.
And if I was late, she was late because we drove to work together all the time.
Any thoughts on that, Larry?
Team Shannon. No, this stuff happened, I guess, you know. I mean, look, there was a conspiracy, not a conspiracy, but there certainly was, you know, an overwhelming majority of the cast, you know, wanted to be done with it. Now, I believe Brian totally there. I could see that. He was the youngest one in the cast, and him and Shannon were really, you know, close friends.
I believe that.
And it does seem really unfair the way you put it now, where the guys got totally no one give a shit what they were doing. And but even then, I thought it was all, to me, looking on the outside, it was like bad. What kind of bad publicity? It's all good publicity. It's like a bad girl in the club. It's like, how is that bad?
If anything, it's going to drive your ratings up. But
I mean, the other thing bad was she's showing up late for work, you know, which eventually, you know, Paul, that, you know, maybe that really did wear Paul a bit, where Paul's thinking, like, I got to. You know, it's for the good of the show. You know, I can see Paul getting to that point too. He's a private actor.
Larry?
Okay.
I don't know if you've known this. I think I said it on this podcast once. Maybe it was a season one thing.
I don't know what's happening.
Paul was, we actually wrote a letter suggesting to Aaron that maybe he would want to replace Brenda after 1 year.
Oh, wow.
So Paul was ready to have that conversation.
Yeah, because I can see that from his point of view. It's a headache. Yeah.
Well, it was different. It was just different. It was, but she came in season two. It was terrific. But by season three, it was spinning. And by season four, it had spun in every which way. And
that Rolling Stone thing and the jealousy. I mean, all that stuff.
The van.
It's hard to discuss.
Well, I don't see the two as none of those things are analogous. The other was a work issue and a company issue. The others are just petty personal things.
Yeah.
We're talking about the company thing. It was a company that decided not to bring her back and move on because, you know, there's a thing when you just, it just seems like you don't really want to be there. And that was kind of the vibe in a sense. And it was a long time ago. And I don't disagree with what Shannon's saying. I don't any of her point of view.
Okay,
but also I don't think we thought it was going to be forever. You know, she's saying fire to him. Yeah, she was being let go, but the character was.
I was stunned. Alive. I was stunned to hear her say, "I was fired," because the truth is that it was structured that she didn't pick up her, she was able to walk off the show, which is what Aaron gave her that dignity. She was not fired. She left. We gave her that.
And she continued life. We kept hoping she'd come back, but then the old man would let her back.
Well, that's
okay.
That happened. Do you understand what I'm saying contractually?
Yes, I do know what you mean. That she wasn't fired. She was technically not fired. She was given an opportunity to not return. It's
her definition. But indeed, her cast, if the phone never rang that morning, my phone never rang that morning, a phone call to the network would have never happened. This came out of the valley. This came out of the people who were there who had just had enough at that point. Given what that season had been, and she was proportionally me more than Tori and certainly Brian. Tori had a lot of tardy, but was easier to get going, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't think it's pure, you know, baby Nepo stuff.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
I don't mean. I don't see it that way. And I don't think it impacted production in the same way.
Well, Tori would come to set happy and ready to go. And like mm-hmm. knowing her, all of her shit already. So it didn't matter if she was a little bit late because she was, and she was also.
Shannon knew her lines. Shannon knew her lines.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. She was a few minutes late, except the entire crew is standing around waiting.
Yeah. You know, it's the makeup. It's the makeup trail. That's where they get fucked up.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing I sitting here listening to this. It's one thing I can remember clearly is, you know, because I would go to set and have to wait for the camera to roll, and then I would leave if we were doing something to location. And I can remember having plenty of time to go get a breakfast burrito, waiting for them to get to the set. Excuse me, waiting for Shannon to get to the set.
I was always waiting for Shannon to get to the set. Yeah.
And if you know, let's just say every team, when you have stars, this is what you get. And you just have to accommodate stars. That's the other side of it.
Sure.
Stars are different than regular people. You have to treat them differently.
Yeah.
Thank you, Larry Mullen. Did you hear that, Mr. Spelling? He really says how to treat stars as Larry Mullen. Okay.
But I mean,
no, Larry, I disagree with you entirely.
They were not a band. They were
stars. I want to add one thing about waiting. As a union crew member, that was fine.
Yeah.
We got paid more.
Yeah. Right.
Take as long as you need.
Time is money.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Here's another thing she says about the crew. She tells this story about a fight she had with Jenny Garth on set. And I was curious if Drew recalls this incident.
And the fight, what's really funny about that fight, that was between myself and Jenny. And it started, I don't know if you remember why it started. She was doing a... She was calling it pants down day, where she would pull the pants on some of the crew members in a funny way.
Yeah.
But some of them were getting pretty annoyed with it. And then I reversed it and I said skirt up day. And she always wore the men's Calvin Klein boxer shorts under her clothes. So I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And so I did skirt up day and oh my God, she lost it on me. And I was just not in the mood to back down.
Wow. Yes. Talk about a screeching halt. I wasn't even on the stage. I was in my office. And within maybe 5 minutes, everybody knew. And everybody was like, shit. What the hell's going on? Yeah. Stuff like that. I mean, honestly, you could probably listen to their podcast for 20 years and find 1,000 little things like that. But anything like that that happened, if it happened on the stage, especially, everybody knew about it within like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like if the craft service person heard it, it was done.
But Drew, do you remember the pants down day? Was that annoying that Jenny was doing that?
You know, I can remember that stuff going on. I think it was probably, Jim Nygren probably had enough of it, is my guess. Because he was always good-natured, and he was an easy target because he always had his hands full. And so, you know, at a certain point, it's just not funny anymore when it just delays what you're doing.
It's interesting. Okay, here Shannon goes on a whole... Larry, Chuck, do you have any memories of this fight? Would you know about that?
No.
Okay, here she goes down... a whole other path. So this is going to be problematic.
I think Brenda and yourself are similar. I would say that we were more similar in the beginning because I always felt like a fish out of water as well. And a little bit naive. But I think as time went on, and I can't say this for sure, right? But perhaps some of the writers and perhaps one of the producers looked at my outside persona that was a lot of lies and bad, you know, bad journalism. You can't call it journalism. It's just trash writing. People trying to make a buck at the expense of somebody else, like the National Enquirer, Star Magazine, all of those. They made up a lot of lies. And I think that some people that I worked with correlated myself and those lies together and wrote them into Brenda. And the more angsty Brenda got, the more unhappy I got with her. And also when the whole, you know, Dylan, Brenda, Kelly triangle happened, there was like nothing similar because Brenda eventually forgave Kelly. And I can tell you that if one of my friends cheated with somebody that I absolutely loved, there would be no forgiveness. I would never speak to them again because I'm a pretty resolute person about loyalty and about boundaries and how you treat another human being. So we're not very similar.
I agree with what you just said.
I remember, and that's just crazy to me. It's a story. You're playing a character that somebody else wrote that it is your job to portray that. I work, you know, it's like sets were my thing, right?
Right.
All that kind of stuff, designing all those things. That would be like me getting the script and it said interior nightclub. And I went, you know, I think it'd be better if it was a spa. I'm not really a nightclub person. My personal feeling is fucking irrelevant. And it's the same thing for them.
Yeah, it should be.
If they intermingle it, that's their problem. It's a job. How do you go from one job to another if you can't separate the two?
What boggles my mind is that you're acting one-to-one.
You're serving the story.
Well, they might be method actors, maybe.
What, Larry?
I'm saying everyone is serving the story. I mean, we're not, you know, we're just playing with characters. And in a lot of ways, the actors do, you know, how the actors are personality-wise, because TV is a personality medium, writing starts reflecting it's their sweet spot.
For me, Shannon lost me when she started talking about the influence of the National Enquirer and the Star magazine on the writers. I think Jessica worked at one point. At one point, she was down there with the Enquirer, right?
I think so, yeah. But I mean, I wasn't aware of the Enquirer.
I was like, no, honey, come on. I was always reading the New Yorker. Now, come on. That was
New Yorker.
Don't see that at all. And yes, there was that distinction because without the forgiveness component, we weren't getting the story order. So we did build that into the character. And as she has gained so much wisdom in so many ways, as she reflects on the last few years, maybe, the character would, or that Shannon as an individual, if such a scenario ever happened, would have found a way.
She was having the whole thing with Rick anyway. I mean, she was already in Paris doing other stuff.
Did you feel you guys were trying to write in the stuff that we never saw her show up late to something or any of the bad press of like her getting into a thing at a nightclub? That never happened with her character on 90210. So was
I always thought that the marriage happened after we wrote the address
in the one about cigarettes, where she gets where it gets cut in the way it occur an affair. I thought. Our show was on Fox 11 and we came on at 8:00. And so what would precede us would be the A Current Affair and Studs would be on at 7:30, but A Current Affair. and that was Bill O'Reilly, and O'Reilly would attack her often.
Yes.
And it was really unfair. And we did address that. That was what we as writers did for her character about cigarette smoking. An episode, talked about it, Pete. I wanted it to go on for the whole season. I wanted her to really grapple with smoking because look at all the kids were smoking, and not Gabby or Ian, but everybody else.
You know, the other thing I've been thinking about Kelly's character. Kelly was a person of Beverly Hills. Broken family, and in a way that affected her. She was not a perfect person. Shannon was from Minnesota, and so in a way, it's kind of like it's her turf. Beverly Hills is where she's from. So when that all happens, and again, Brenda, she's having a thinking about Rick and stuff. I thought it was totally fine and acceptable in Beverly Hills that you could have this relationship where someone cheats on, because, you know, that's how things were. I mean, people tend to go for their best friend's friends sometimes. I mean, certainly it's the Beverly Hills things. If you're watching that rich, what is that? The Rich Women of Beverly Hills, the housewives thing?
The housewives. I mean,
that's no different. Is that correct, Brian? It's the same kind of thing.
Same thing. So all right, let's go to a Tori clip here.
So I had already gone through relationships like this.
Mm. Yet you were okay playing this character.
Because it was real.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Talking about the storyline with Jamie, she's suggesting that because she had a relationship that was abusive, that you guys leaned into that. Is there any?
No, Aaron hit that pretty well.
Well, there's some truth in that. There's some truth in that.
Nick Savalas?
Yes.
Okay, No. Forget it. There's no complicity. My office and my place, because I didn't want anything. I did not want to know about anybody's personal lives if I could help it. Wasn't what I was interested in focusing on.
Well, but that might have given the idea for that, because we were looking for obviously big things for the season finale, which Chip and
it was a happening thing. We were going to redeem the guy.
Right. Well, that was always going to happen. We knew that.
And that didn't happen soon enough or strong enough or whatever enough.
It was going to be good.
And he got the backlash.
What do you think, Larry? Do you think that there's some truth to it?
Personally, I think as far as generating ideas, like where we're taking this character, whatever, that it could have been a little seed of the creative spark of that idea, where the idea came from. I would say that's correct.
Interesting. There's a clip here, Chuck, where Chad mentions you by name. Do you want to hear this or no? Where she said,
is it very derogatory?
She just says you didn't support her.
Well, she said what she wants. I'm interested.
I'll play it.
Please tell us about the support you got from the male producers, Brad Kern and Charles Rosen. I do feel they both are responsible 100% for the lack of support from both shows. Yeah. 100% lack of support. Particularly from Charles Rosen, you know, to each their own, but I won't say anything mean about him except that he was not supportive.
That's pretty vague.
Yeah.
What are they talking about?
We're only doing 32 episodes a year.
Sure. I think that they were talking about, the context of that is that she was compared. They were asking about the two shows that she was fired off of, I think, and was there support of her? My guess is either the character or her at the end of it. So,
well, are you asking me that once it was presented to me as an option or reality? Understand, it was presented to me as a reality that she was being let go. I was not the first to know, the second to know, the third to know. So nobody really cared if I supported it or not. But the fact of the matter is, this is what production and this is what the cast wanted to do and had voted on to do. The network and the Spelling Company reacted to that. I reacted to that.
I think that's a fair answer.
In order.
Yeah, I mean.
So the level of support for that was, yes, I went along with the Paul. Nobody asked my position to defend. As I had said, we had at least a year, perhaps a year and a half worth of meetings, many of which would have been solved if there was a slightly different management policies coming out of the Spelling Office. That's what she and I are in agreement. For her to say the support of that, she was not the support of the that we were going, we were instituting the triangle, and that was the biggest riff we had.
Okay, maybe that's
that, what and unauthorized wardrobe choices. We fought over that, and that was pretty. You know, I'm writing a high school show. She could dress like that and did.
Yeah, that's not support, though. That's just creative differences.
But that's where the only I didn't really, in terms of her business, what did she need? She wasn't asking for my support.
Really?
Truth is, Shannon's relationship was with Aaron Spelling.
Right.
You know, cool. I was, even to Shannon in some ways, I think she looked upon me as the hired help.
Probably.
Candy did.
Okay, let's move on. There's people speculating that Tiffany is talking about Jenny Garth in two of these clips where she says that she lost a friendship. So, this, you know, Larry, I know you love this storyline.
Right, and that's exactly how it happened. My best friend had gone, you know, she was actually her second marriage, but then, you know, had babies and all that, you know, and I was there for all of it, and I hadn't done any of that yet. You know what I mean? So by the time it came around for me, it just... she wasn't the person that needed to be there for me for that. And it was hard, but it's okay.
Do you have some,
you know, you wish them well. I still wish them
well. But it's
well,
always good to just put good output out there. You know what I mean? It's good to be the bigger person.
I wrote my exit letter, but I wrote it knowing that I was not going to give it to her. And that helped me because I put it pen to, you know, like thought to pen, right? And I wrote it, and maybe that's what she did to you, and she's not going to give it to you, but whatever. This is about you. So I did that, and I folded it up, and I just literally put it in my drawer, and I never gave it to her. But it was helpful to just get all my thoughts out, again, not giving it to my, at that time, fiance, now husband, because it was too much. It was getting, I was just like, I was so upset, I was hurt, I was pissed, and it helped me move on a little bit.
People believe this is about Jenny Garth.
Oh, it is about Jenny Garth. That's absolutely 100%.
I don't know. I couldn't tell.
Brian confirmed it. Brian just confirmed it.
It's 100% about Jenny.
Did you, Larry, who left first, you or Tiffany?
Oh, me.
Larry, Tiffany. Yeah.
Tiffany was there for season eight.
She went on after. She was there until season nine, I think, and then that was the end of it. Yeah.
Right after Jason.
Poor Tiffany. Yeah.
They practically left. Jason and Tiffany left together, practically.
Who left together?
Jason and Tiffany, they left together.
That's true. Larry, what do you think of this? Do you think that this is, she's talking about Jenny Garth? And
if Brian says yes, then, you know, I mean, I don't remember the kids stuff. Yeah.
She wasn't there for her when she was having.
I have a theory about that. Now, I noticed that Jenny just had on her podcast, I Choose Me, please tell me if I'm right, Brian, but she had Peter Facinelli on.
I have heard.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. I did hear that. Show.
We saw it on Maggie's Instagram. Right. So
she's on good terms with them because I always thought that there was something funky with that.
I'm really glad to hear that. I know that Jason liked Peter too. I mean, he's very close with Jenny, obviously. But they had a nice relationship. You know, it was like, oh, she's with a good guy, you know, after the day, you know what I'm saying, Drew, right? I mean, people like
absolutely.
I never really met him, but I have a positive.
She was very happy
about him, so I'm happy that they're in talk. They have the kids in common, right? He's the father of those kids.
Yeah.
I got a few questions here that I'm going to put here. Happy birthday, Maggie. I wanted to make sure that I said that too. Maggie. Yes, Maggie's birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday, Maggie.
Yeah. Pete, what do you think when 90210 OMG just is Claire's outfits? I'm offended by it. I don't like it. They don't understand. It's only Jenny that does it, so she just doesn't get the character. She said that on our podcast, so I don't expect anything out of that.
She doesn't get the character?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a pretty well delineated route.
She doesn't know why it was there. She doesn't know why it was there. So, I mean, I totally...
Why it was there to have someone cute and sexy and funny. Whoever's also be really smart
and different, which is what I was
the appropriate. We earned that part. We didn't cast it expecting that ain't much, but the you know the chancellor's daughter was just wow. What you could do with this, you know?
It's infuriating, but I don't. Whatever. Here, this question was. I don't know if they've ever talked about this before, but I would be interested to hear their thoughts about the teen and young adult fans from the 90s growing up and dissecting, criticizing the show from adult 2002 24 perspective, like the Again With This or the Blaze podcast. What do you think of the Blaze podcast? Chuck, you spent some time on the Blaze podcast.
Well, Chuck's Corner, right? I mean, I'm sure there's some people listening to this one that they're probably intersected with what Kat and Lizzie were doing. But so what? Yeah, I did that from like episode 3 on, practically. We had a mutual friend who told me they're doing this podcast, and so I listened to the first episode. That I had written. I didn't know, you know, it was like, oh, well, they had always, you know, got to that point. And I realized that they didn't get it at all.
No. I didn't like it at all.
They couldn't process really what was happening there. So when I did something, I corrected that, and that became the origins of Chuck's Corner, where I would share in writing what I remember about this, or just in like a blurb, 2 paragraphs, 3 paragraphs of it, and then they would ostensibly read it. And then now Darren Martin can comment about this.
They're
too goofy for me. You know,
I never once listened to the podcast. Never once.
I tried to, except
I didn't even listen to those. The only times I would just. They would interview me once a year to kick off every season they were going to do, the overview stuff, what's going to be, what's interesting about, you know, it was nice little conversation. And I would come into the radio station studio that they had, which was on
the actual office.
Larry, the one across from Kate Manolini's, you know.
Oh, right.
They're the OGs. I always have to give them props. If it wasn't for the Blaze, I heard Chuck Rosen on the Blaze, and I thought it would be a good idea to maybe do a podcast with them. That's really the OGs of it. So, I mean, I agree with you, Larry, that it was unlistenable. You know what I mean? When they would talk about what was going on in Lizzie's life or whatever, I couldn't stand. Like, I would have to just keep skipping along to get to Chuck's Corner.
Well, they never would give any of the credit.
That was the interesting
either.
Part, you know. Yeah. Okay. No, but they seem very sweet. I've invited them on here many times. They've blown me off. So
the one thing that was great, what we did is we, and probably we could have done better even, but we did a live show at the Fine Arts Theater in Beverly Hills.
Wow, that's great.
We did it was Donna Martin Graduates. And it was and Gabrielle, Denise, and I were on stage, and there were other actors, and it was directed by Lindsay.
Oh, very cool!
You know, getting her licks in on all sorts of stuff. Well, at that point.
That was the beginning of the resurgence of the show and the interest in the show and all the social media that kind of blew up after and that.
We did not sell out the Fox Fine Arts Theater. And Lindsay always thought that they didn't know how to market anything, and we should have sold it out because Lindsay was doing her Cruel Intentions. The musical was just getting launched. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The other one, again with this, Brian and I tried to listen to it, and we found it unlistenable. So it's not funny.
What is that?
Again with this, they're just very critical of everything that's happened on 90210. And the guy is just outrageously stupid and just not funny. The girl's kind of funny. You know, and I just didn't like anyway. They released a book. I mean, so I don't know.
Popular podcast according to Reddit and other people online, but
I don't find it interesting. But there was it's an older one, so it's not.
Brian,
I don't know.
Brian, you should do a poll and see what the best Beverly Hills 90210 podcast is.
Not a bad idea. Right.
Thank you.
Here, this one is the best.
I don't know. I think Shannon will give us a run for the money.
Oh, Shannon's
my number one.
Shannon's is great. I mean, I love listening to these passages. Whether you know, I mean, clearly, you know, I mean, it just was a question of that. And at that moment when she's being recorded, she's locked in some moment.
Yes.
That we had that was confrontational or in a phone call. The most confrontation we ever had was in a phone call when I didn't like the wardrobe and I needed it to be changed. Yeah. That was the most confrontation we had. I it wouldn't be my place to confront her over business.
Ever. Right.
It wasn't my job.
Brian, I'm going to save those other questions for a future podcast, the one that you, the ones that you sent me. But I do want to share one last thing, a positive clip from 9021 OMG. They loved hate is a four-letter word.
It actually, like, took me back. Like, where I was like, this is literally what's on the news, what's in our world. It was sort of astounding how on point this episode was.
Now we're talking about anti-Semitism, and that's just all over the news right now. It's on every college campus.
It's just...
What's sadder is to know that things don't change.
Yeah.
Oof, isn't that...
That's the hard part. We always say, we've come so far, and then it's something like this that you look back 30 years ago, and you're like, we really sadly haven't.
Yes, that was good. Good that notice that. That feels good. I mean, obviously that was not a highly rated episode, but, you know, that was really an important episode.
That's, but, you know, after every episode, I was really blessed, and my parents would call me to tell me they were had watched it. My mother and my dad would do that at every one. And it was usually my mother that would do it and say, your dad's here too. And that would be the call at the end of every episode. And even the first few that he didn't particularly like, by the way, they still would call because it was, you know, the ones that I did. But when that one aired, my dad said, I didn't know how you were going to get out of that one. I was, you know, at the third turn going into the stretch, he didn't see how on earth I could get them to come together, you know.
Well, someone asked a question about the wardrobe thing, but I think we've covered why you had an issue with our wardrobe some other time. Okay. For me, I think we've covered this. I want to shout out Amy Sugarman there in that clip. She does a really good job of...
I'm going to be right back.
Okay. I think she does a wonderful... I think she does a wonderful job of getting those girls to talk about what's going on and staying on point. I think Shannon's friends that she has on do a really good job of getting her to open up. And also Tori's... I don't know, is Randy James doing it with Jenny? Is that what it is? I mean, I know that she has a podcast too. I haven't really listened to it that much, but it's great to see that everybody's out there. And Brian has a new podcast coming out with well, it's the same podcast, Oldish. Another season's coming out with Randy Spelling and Sharna, and I like that one a lot. That's really helpful, I think, for people of my age that are growing up and getting into things. It's great to see everybody doing podcasts and talking about it. Larry, you always kind of say it's rising tides, right?
Yeah, rising tide. We're all on the same street here. We all supporting each other. You know, thrilled for all of them. You know.
Two things I want to plug. Larry's book.
Oh, there you go. Pool Guys Kid comes out June 25th. You can pre-order it on Amazon. It's I dedicate it to the loyal fans of 90210 all over the world. It takes place in a lot of it in Beverly Hills, and I think it's really captures a lot of the same values that, you know, the show did.
I'm really excited to get this. You can get that on Amazon. Well, you can pre-order it on Amazon right now, actually.
Yes, and I'm sending out signed book plates. I sent one to Brian. I want to see if he thinks that's sufficient, because it's hard for me obviously to sign unless we all get together. But I am doing some signing.
Maybe we could do a live podcast at some point.
The publisher.
Well, I think it's fabulous. I can come and order it right after we hang up.
There is a character called Chuck in it. He's a water man. He's smoking a joint. Yes.
I don't know anybody like that.
He's in a couple of scenes.
The other thing I want to plug is that Brian Navarro and myself are going to be launching a podcast called What's on Pluto TV. We're going to go through random things that are hanging around on Pluto, 90210 maybe, Melrose Place, Twilight Zone, Three's Company. What else, Brian?
Let's do some Star Trek. They have a ton of Star Trek.
Well, I've never watched Star Trek, so there's ton of stuff. You know, all those shows, and just see what we can think about everything. So that should be coming out soon too, as well. Okay, this has been a very good week. Everybody okay with everything that they heard on the podcasts? Yeah, on the other podcasts, so far so good.
Yeah, and anytime you want to play, anytime that, especially anything that Shannon says that you think is relevant one way or the other.
Yeah. I'm still in shock over this van, that this van became such a hot button.
It was a used van.
Well, I didn't know that part of it, really. I mean, I only got to the point that my awareness was the cast bought this van. It didn't matter that it was used or not used. It was using to fight AIDS. And they didn't have to do shit like that.
They were ready.
What did the cast do after that? Most of them, not Shannon. She was, as she alludes to in one of the clips you played, she was taking care of her family, which was a very unfair burden on her.
Yes.
And she does make mention of that. And that clouds a lot of stuff when you're 18, 19, 20 years old after being 11, 12, 13. She was important to that family.
It is also important to note that these were very young actors. These were not adults when they were doing this show. Yeah. These were young adults, and it's very easy for them to get caught up in the bullshit of it all.
Absolutely, yep. Major factor in it, I believe.
Yeah. Renee B wants me to say that Tiffany shares more in that interview. My instinct as to what happened. So if anyone wants to go, that's the Chelsea Handler. Larry, you want to mention a podcast that someone sent you?
Bill Simmons is, you know, a journalist, has a podcast called Prestige TV, and of all things, he does the 2-hour Mr. Walsh Goes to Washington episodes as part of a Prestige TV, and you know, gives this flowers really lovely. Brian, I know, listen to it. What'd you think, Brian?
I thought it was fantastic, and you know, I'm a stickler for other podcasts, and I really enjoyed it. I thought they did a great job with it.
Will you send me a link?
Yeah, I sent it to you, I think, twice, Chuck, but I definitely texted it to you. I definitely sent it to you. I asked you if you listened to it also. But, you know, he also in it mentions the greatest episode of television was Hazardous to Your Health.
Best hour of TV, he says. He says it's the best hour of television ever made.
I would love for Bill Simmons to come on this.
That was the Mexico episode where someone molested Tiffany.
Oh my god, I don't know why we all laughed at that. Anyway, listen, Bill Simmons, I wish Bill Simmons would come on this podcast. I think he never
Chuck's tried to talk to him. I've tried to talk to him.
I've tried.
Blown us off.
He's not really interested in it when I part of his vision. although Larry's a fucking vineyard guy, and I could talk LA Boston sports rivalries with him up the wazoo.
Oh, they're playing
right now. There's a basketball game going on, and my hope of hopes is that everybody's really surprised because the Celtics are losing. No, I'm just saying that.
There's basketball still going. The Lakers aren't playing. What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's Celtics versus the Dallas Mavericks.
It seemed like, though, Tiffany handled that whole situation really well. The situation that may or may not have happened with Kevin, and so I think we can laugh about it.
Yeah.
Okay. She certainly did. Anyway,
it was one of the hazards of being an actress in the 80s and 90s.
It's unfortunate. It's very sad.
Not an isolated incident.
Yeah, which is why what brought out Me Too and everything else. So
correct.
Yeah, I'm going to go back now and watch all the times that David or Kevin mentioned Tiffany working with her to see if there's any signs it's him.
I'm going to watch Hazardous to Your Health again and then watch those scenes.
Okay. All right. Everybody go do the things that you're going to do. Chuck, good seeing you. Drew, good seeing you. Everybody else, good seeing you.
Bye-bye, guys.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye.